Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of 1941.
I watched the second half of 1941.
And this
is the other half.
Steven Stinkers! So last week we were like, damn, this movie is cooking.
Yeah, it's like kind of a nice hidden gem.
Sugarland Express. Pretty good. Like, has some really good stuff.
I quite enjoyed it. Had a bit of weird, like, misogyny to it. But,
yeah.
Like, that was the worst thing we could say
about
it.
That's the worst thing we could say about it, is the misogynistic parts.
Yeah. This movie's bad.
This movie's terrible.
This is a bad movie.
This deserved to not make a lot of money. This deserves to be at the bottom of the grossing.
It's crazy to me to watch a movie made by Steven Spielberg. And it's like, it's not like it's a poorly shot film.
No. It's just so unfunny.
It's unfunny.
And also super offensive.
Oh my God. Yes. Like, I hate this thing because it's like, obviously the movie takes place in World War II. So they all hate the Japanese. But I'm like, can we just stop like doing like the weird racist stuff about Japanese people? Like, why do they have to make the Japanese the submarine and the villains in the movie? Why not make it Germans, which is a lot easier for everyone to be like mean towards?
Well, because you can't. Well, okay. Like, geographically, that's the word I'm looking for. Geographically, the Germans wouldn't attack them.
Yeah, the West
Coast. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So you have to do Japan. But also, you could do it without just going to like every single little.
Oh my God, it's so
like,
bad.
Honestly, at least they cast Japanese people. That's all I ask.
The bare minimum.
The bare minimum.
They even bother casting a real German guy. That's just fucking Christopher Lee.
Yeah. He's having fun.
He's having a grand. Honestly, that's the one thing I will say about this movie. It looks like everyone is having a blast.
Everyone's having a blast.
I am not watching the movie.
No.
I'm not having a good time.
So most of the time, Lindsay does not watch these movies with me. But for some reason, it just was like, hey, I got to watch this movie for this podcast. It's the first half. Just, yeah, let's watch it. And I'm like, all right, so it's about World War II. But it's not in World War II.
Right. It's not. It's in America.
It's in America about World War II. So it's like, you know, about the civilians. And she's like, I don't know. And then as soon as the movie started, we saw the Japanese people in a sub.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, no. Oh, no. You're just kind of just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
And it dropped pretty quickly, I'd imagine.
You know, it's like little bits of it kept dropping until the whole shoe came down.
Yeah.
Because it's not like...
The soul.
As far as like super problematic movies, it's definitely not great.
No, no.
But it's comedy. You expect to age poorly. It's not the worst age comedy we've seen for sure.
And again, it like takes place during World War II, so it is capturing a very real like sentiment about like the Japanese at that time.
Yeah, people were scared, etc. You know, and that happened. I mean, look at all the camps that were made across the country.
Exactly.
So clearly,
the internment
people were
camps.
Scared.
Yeah.
But making that a comedy is weird, right?
It's weird to poke fun at that.
It's a little
and not
weird.
Poke fun in a way of like, it was kind of bad that we like treated, you know, like
no,
Japanese
part,
civilians
that,
like poorly, you
that
know?
That part never comes up.
No.
I think it's always like the problem with this comedy and the way they make jokes in this is they never look at themselves as like, oh, did we do something bad or could we make fun of ourselves? It's like, no, we're making fun of everyone's hysteria, like about the idea of Japan attacking California.
Yeah.
We're making fun of that. We're not making fun of the fact of how we treated
Japanese
people, Japanese Americans.
Yeah.
We're never going to bring that up. We're never going to do that. So we're just going to keep poking fun about the Japanese people in the submarine who are supposedly trying to attack.
Yeah.
California, but they're doing a bad job.
For the longest time, too, in my half of the movie, they keep going like, the Japanese are going to attack us. We're looking for the Japanese. Which, by the way, they do not say the word Japanese.
They kind of shorten that. They shorten it quite a bit. Which is like, that's what everyone said back in the day.
Sure.
But I'm not going to say it now.
No. So they're just like, the Japanese. And I was like, but I never see them. For like the longest time, I don't see them. I have the movie. And I'm like, oh, this is actually a really clever like form of like satire. Like, what if it's like a War of the Worlds where it's like everyone thinks the Japanese are attacking, but they haven't. And maybe it's just like some crazy thing where the Americans are actually like bombing themselves or whatever. They're just attacking each other. And it's like this big rabble rouse. But then we do see the Japanese sub. I'm like, oh, okay. So then that's not what we're doing. We are just like, these are bad guys.
And you never see Holliswood in your half, do you?
No.
Oh, boy.
Who's Holliswood?
Let me tell you. What happens if an American gets mixed up with those Japanese guys?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, no. And what if he was drunk?
That guy.
Yeah,
that guy. Because I was just like, oh, yeah, it's just like it's just another like Japanese.
That guy had a story.
I was wondering why he kept saying the word Hollywood over and over again.
Boy, this is a great joke for that, too. I can't wait to explain it to you. Sure, it's a great joke.
It's also like, that's not great, obviously.
No.
And that's not funny. But no. Then there's also a whole other aspect of the movie that isn't funny. Like, there's a lot of unfunny things.
So remember the misogyny in the last movie?
Yes.
Yeah, it comes through in this.
Oh, my God. I don't even know what the guy's fucking name is, but he's just like, I really want to bang Betty or whatever.
Oh, Wally or whatever?
No, Wally's the cool guy.
Oh, Wally's the cool guy.
But
oh, yeah,
this...
the actual army guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He fucking sucks.
He sucks. And it's like,
I think that's the point of it, right?
That is the point of it. It's hard to watch because he is literally like chasing her around. Like
grabbing her, throwing her around.
And at one point, he straight up just like assaults her.
Yeah.
And it's like, this isn't funny. Like, this is not a funny thing to happen. And then he just like, and then it's like nothing ends up really happening to him. And then there's this other lady who's like, oh my God, I love this army guy. And like, I'm like, what is going on here? Like, it feels like, but
I was curious to see what you thought about that lady.
It was just crazy to me because it feels like, I know, to me, again, like, I appreciate what Spielberg is like attempting to do. It feels like a cartoon. Like, it feels like a cartoon brought to life. And this guy kind of feels like a Pepe Le Pew character, right?
Yeah.
But it's not fun to watch a real life human being who's an army person.
Also, here's the thing, though. Spielberg is bad at comedy.
Mm.
He's bad at making comedic films. He can make a funny moment.
Yeah.
But a movie that could sustain being funny the whole time, he is just not good at.
He's really bad about understanding, I think, like how comedy works as far as like building like a joke, right?
Yes.
Like we talked about this before. We're not necessarily like, you know, joke like writers or anything, but like I think we can tell like a good comedy knows how to like, it starts out really small and then it slowly builds over time until the very end where it's like a big crescendo. And it's like this movie is like at crescendo the entire fucking movie. Like there's no sense of like scalability. Everything is already so big and massive. And I feel like the last hour of the movie, everyone is just yelling at each other. Like, it's like there's no sense of like, you know, a good sense of like comedy is like contrast. So it's like something really quiet happens and then something really bombastic and big happens. Like, I was comparing this to like Blues Brothers, which came out around the same time.
Yeah.
Also has Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi. That movie's a fucking classic comedy because it's like, one thing I'll give John Landis is he knows how to direct a fucking comedy. The one thing I will give
him.
The one thing. And he knows that like before the Blues Brothers show up and drop off all the money, we have to have one big scene of just like complete and utter silence so then we can build back up that feeling again. Here it's like, you know, they're at a fucking like a Ferris wheel and there's like a guy with a dummy for some reason. And then we cut
everyone's
fighting in the guy with the weird voice and shit. Yeah. It's like every character is up to 11. And I'm like, this is a headache.
Every character is up to 11. That's a great way of putting it. And there's also a lot of characters.
There's so many.
There's so many B plots. There's at least six.
You need to cut this shit in half. Because all I want is to watch like John Belushi fly it.
Oh,
in a
see,
plane.
I didn't. He was barely in my half, and I didn't like him when he was in there.
It's a mess. He also plays like kind of a bad idiot. Like
he just
I don't know,
plays a dumb guy. Which I don't like John Belushi's like comedy in general, and that's like the reason I don't like him.
Yeah,
and so he's just doing his thing up to 11, and that's why I was like,
I don't really like anybody in this movie. Like Wally seems like a cool
Wally's
guy.
Wally's the only person to, like mildly root for, but he's an idiot.
Everyone's an idiot. Like
everyone's an idiot and have their own agenda. Actually, no, I like the Colonel guy,
the guy that likes Dumbo,
the guy watching Dumbo.
You know who that is? That's Robert Stack.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's great. I love him. He, you're right. And he's the only guy that's not fucking yelling.
No,
he's just watching Dumbo and having a good time.
I think his thing is everyone is so insane and he's supposed to be like kind of the middle ground person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's enough middle ground or like normal people to cement the movie in anything that makes you feel like the absurdity is funny.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Because like if you think about Airplane, right?
Right.
Everyone is playing that as a normal character, but the events around them or maybe an action they do is absurd. It's not the characters themselves are absurd.
Right.
There's
right.
maybe like one or two. And those are the ones who stand out as weird.
Yes, exactly.
While everyone else is kind of like reacting normally to absurd events or doing absurd
totally.
Things.
Totally.
While this is, everyone is absurd. Everyone's up to 11. And then you have this guy and you relate to him because you're like, this is fucking crazy. And he's just trying to watch Dumbo.
He's just trying to watch Dumbo and relax.
Yeah. He's trying to make everyone stay sane and not go crazy. But,
like,
I mean, that maybe that's what they're trying to do. Is that like California's up to 11.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't work, right?
It's just a headache. Like, the other thing I would compare it to is, like, Dr. Strangelove, right? That's another movie where, like, everyone's lost their fucking mind, and it's a whole movie about miscommunication and all that. But it's, like, that movie works because it's, like, you go into the plane, and it's Lynn Pickens as a crazy person, and everyone else is normal. And then you go into the war room, and everyone's normal except for, you know, the one guy who's jumping around and being crazy. And then, you go to, you know, Sergeant Ripper, and he's, like, he's a quiet, calm, like, guy, and then you see, you know, the assistant who's this, like, bumbling British guy. Like, it's like you have one person who's an insane, crazy person, and then everyone else is, like, either, like, very muted or down.
Yep.
So it creates that sense of, like, building and contrast. None of this is like this. Everyone is a fucking insane, crazy person, and they're all yelling at the camera. Oh my God. And it's so long. That's the other thing. This movie is way too long.
I don't think Spielberg can make a movie under 2 hours.
No.
Is there a movie for Spielberg under 2 hours? I'm going to look that
I'm
up
sure
right
Sugar
now.
Land Express must be relatively short.
I don't think it was that short.
Do you want me to look it up? Because I want you to start talking about the beginning.
Go ahead and look it up. I need to know. But okay, let's start talking about this. So, the beginning of the movie, 1941. Big long thing of text. You know, that's really funny. You got to read all this shit before you get to the movie.
What?
Text, it's saying all this stuff like the surprise attack on Pearl Harbor happened. Oh. Everyone is scared. It hurls America in World War II. Paranoia spreads fast. Everyone thinks California is next.
Mm-hmm.
This guy named Major General Joseph Stilwell takes command of the Army's third corps. All these civilians.
There's a third corps.
Third corps, yeah, exactly. I say corps. I know it's corps.
I think it's corps, but I don't know.
Anyway, so all the civilians start like building man-made like anti-aircraft gun emplacements, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So we cut to, and this is the part where I knew we were fucked.
I think I know what it is. I do know how this movie opens.
Yeah.
It's a Jaws reference, right?
Yes. I'm like, is this Jaws? Are we just doing Jaws again?
Yeah.
And luckily I know that reference because I watched the movie with Mike recently.
Yes, that's right.
But it's like Northern California coast.
Mm-hmm.
Moody, atmospheric, just like the movie Jaws I wrote. Some lady from a local polar bear club goes to like a morning swim. Have you seen the polar bear club? You know what the polar bear club's about?
No.
So polar bear club.
In my half of the movie, or is it just a thing that exists?
This is just a thing that exists.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
do they just swim in the cold water? That's what it is?
They get up early before the crack of dawn. You go swim in the cold water.
Got it.
That is always a thing to like wake you up. They call it polar bear club. It's at a lot of camps.
Got it.
But this lady just has a shirt on. She's doing it by herself, which is not normally how you do it, but whatever. But she's naked. She gets naked and runs into the beach.
Right.
Swims. And then we literally have Jaws-style tension music playing. Dun, 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 while she's in the water. Yeah. I think this is his movie right after Jaws, isn't it?
I don't know. I'll look it up. But apparently that's the lady from Jaws. Like, he got the same lady from the movie Jaws to read.
Wow. So now, like, she can be naked this time.
She can be naked this time. Oh, do you see her, like, boobies or something?
Yeah, for a minute.
That's
or
crazy. Second. That's
felt like a minute.
Not an entire minute. Of just
felt
boobs.
Like an entire minute.
It's like, damn,
why,
Spielberg.
I slowed it down really quick. I was like, Lindsay, hold on. Let me crank this down. Make it real slow. I got to see all the frames. This is how I watch the movies. It takes
that's
me so
right.
long.
That's how that's right. That's why I've been here for so long.
That's pretty funny, though. But then she swims in the water, and then suddenly a periscope appears, mm-hmm. and she grasps onto it and goes, and the periscope goes up, and she's on the top of a U-boat.
Mm-hmm.
They're here to attack. But the crew realizes they're completely lost. They're like, this isn't anything interesting to shoot at. And they're like, damn, well, we want to get something in Los Angeles. This isn't Los Angeles. We have to go back down and figure out. We want to, what's some place that's cool, like big? We want to make a big, big damage to America.
Right, right.
Let's blow up Hollywood, something in Hollywood. And they're like, I think the German guy's like, Hollywood's pretty far inland, but
yeah, it's gonna be hard to hit it with the U-boat.
If
sure.
you guys want to try, we can go there. I'm sure there'll be something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a German guy there, just one German guy.
Yeah,
because he lent them the U-boat.
I get it. It's a German U-boat.
Because I don't believe Japan really had U-boats. I think they made the script work. They're
I
like,
was gonna say, gotta love the historical accuracy.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So really quick, shortest Steven Spielberg movies: Sugarland Express is under 2 hours. It's an hour and 50.
So close, though.
It is close. And then the next shortest one is War of the Worlds from 2005. That's an hour and 56 minutes.
He's close. He can't.
He can't. It's really hard.
150 is still pretty long.
It's pretty long. Every other movie he's made is basically 2 hours or more.
2 hours
so,
or more.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or except for Duel, which is 90 minutes. But that's also a TV movie. So
that's
that doesn't
true.
Really
that's
count.
True. That's true. Yeah. I don't think that counts. Anyway, So the commander's like, all right, let's set a course for LA. And they're like, I don't know how to get there. We'll figure it out. Just go this way. Because mm-hmm. they're like, compass is messed up. Their compass is broken because it doesn't work
on the
here.
U-boat?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. And they're like, this is your stupid German technology. And he's like, no, this is your guys. You guys suck at piloting this beautiful German stuff.
And all this is probably in captions.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
they're speaking German and
yeah, he just speaks
Japanese,
German.
And
they just speak Japanese and they just put captions and they understand each other, which, you know.
Gotta love it.
It could happen, but.
Sure. But it's really funny to listen to people arguing in another language.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
It's funny. But then they're like, all right, let's lock up, go down. And some guy looks up and sees a naked lady on top of the periscope. And there is a funny sight gag where the lady's like, ah! And then you see the periscope while the commander's like looking down to see the periscope going up and down. And he's like, what the hell?
Apparently, I the only reason I remember this or I know this opening is because I saw some documentary about like the filmography of Spielberg. And he talked about when this movie came out. And he says, I thought I made the funniest movie I ever made. And then the opening happens and everyone was laughing during the Jaws scene. Everyone thought it was so funny. And then for the rest of the movie, everyone was dead quiet.
Which is so funny because it's literally he's just parodying himself.
He's
is
just
this,
doing
is
it
this
himself.
Right after?
Oh, I forgot to look that
That's
up.
That's okay.
Let me look that up.
Anyway, while the swimmer's up there going, a guy looks up and just goes, Hollywood, and points it. You know, he says it just like that too.
Right, right.
And he points
sure
it,
he does.
He points it right at this lady at the top of his lungs. And then the water, they start diving down. He forgets to shut the door because they're like, get in here. And he's like, no, naked lady. And then, you know, they dive and it's fine.
Wow, this is crazy. So he made Sugarland Express. Mm-hmm. Right after that, he made Jaws. Mm-hmm. Then after that, he made Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And then he made 1941. And then right after that, man. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I haven't seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind forever.
I love that. That's my favorite Spielberg movie.
Really?
I love that movie a lot.
That's crazy that this came.
I know.
That's just wild to have, like, shit. And then this, and then shit again, and then this, you know, like.
Wait, what do you mean shit?
Wait, hold on. What was this movie's chronologically? Sugarland Express was good.
Sugarland Express, Jaws.
Jaws good.
Close Encounters.
Oh, Close Encounters is good.
1941.
Shit.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay, all right, all right. He had one L.
And then it was like Raiders of the Lost Ark, E.T., and the writer that was Twilight Zone, the movie. And then the second Indiana. It's like, it's funny. It's like he makes a really shitty movie, and he's like, I'm going to go right back and make an Indiana Jones.
I got to go with what I know. I got to go with what I know.
Like, it's funny, because then he made Always in 1989, which we've seen for the podcast.
Another comedy.
Another terrible comedy. The year before that, he made Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. So it's like he is just like making garbage, and then he's like, I gotta get back into making Indiana Jones.
I gotta make a hit.
I wonder what he made before the new Indiana Jones, Munich, which is good, but it's.
Munich is pretty good.
Yeah, it's definitely better than Crystal Skull.
We're running back to it.
Anyway, sorry, continue.
Then he made a lot of movies. And he didn't even make the last Indiana Jones.
Like,
yeah,
no,
this,
he's like,
this can't help me. I gotta get my shit back. I can't keep relying on Indiana Jones.
Well, he did make Ready Player One. And then he made West Side Story. So, yeah, it's another situation where he's like, all right, that movie fucking sucked.
But West Side Story isn't a sure bet. He could have flopped on that,
but
to be fair.
Didn't. That movie fucking rocks.
The movie's great. Anyway, so we're now cut to a diner where the cook is completely incompetent. It is Wally and his friend, his blonde friend. I don't think I ever got his name. No, not the lady. Like, as one of his friends.
Oh,
like
I don't know.
Guy,
what is it? He's
guy.
So annoying.
He's so annoying, though. I hate him. And they're basically fucking up the whole kitchen. They're throwing eggs around. They're being shitty. They're being annoying. And we see Dan Aykroyd and John Candy are there in full military outfit in the diner where they're being cooked food. And they're just like, we're fucking here. We're stationed here. We're being annoying. And the other guys are being annoying. And Wally is obsessed with dancing. He wants to be a dancer so bad. So he's doing like steps in the middle of the diner while he serves.
Yeah.
And Army men make fun of him. And
this is a very like LA thing. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, I want to be a dancer. I'm going to go to LA and then I'm going to work as a busboy.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
And then one of the soldiers, I think it was a shitty guy who actually goes after Betty.
Mm-hmm. What is his name?
I don't remember. I thought I wrote it down somewhere, but I can't
Whatever.
Write it off the top of my head.
Shitty guy. Well, let's just call him shitty guy.
Yeah. Shitty soldier. He says, there's a war on. Why aren't you in uniform? And he's like, I got
two left feet.
This is my uniform. Da, 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 I'm serving or whatever. My own way. And they're like, shut up. You're an idiot. And then he spills eggs on him. Mm-hmm. And because he's dancing, because a fight almost basically breaks out mm-hmm. because he's just being so annoying. And he gets like what's a little bit of eggs on the fucking
shitty guy.
The shitty guy, and he's like, oh, I hate eggs, and that's his whole characteristic.
It just doesn't like
that
eggs.
Has to come off in your half.
Never.
Are you freaking serious? He talks about how much he hates eggs all the time.
Never comes up in my half.
He always
the movie.
Talks about he hates eggs. He yeah. got him on his uniform. He
not much eggs in my half the movie, to be honest.
It turns into total chaos.
Oh my
fighting.
God, wait a second. It does come up.
Yeah.
He lands in a bunch of eggs at one point. And he's very upset about it.
There you go.
So there you go.
He hates eggs. Yeah. Wow. What a payoff. So it's total chaos. One guy, it's like his birthday, gets his face knocked into the cake, makes a massive mess. The manager comes out. The manager already does not like these two knuckleheads. And he's like, and they're like, clean up all this shit. What are you guys doing? They're like, but I can't stay here late. I got to go to the dance. I got to get a suit for the dance. Uh-huh. And he's like, well, then you're fired then. He's like, I need money to pay for the suit for the dance. He's like, I don't give a shit. Get out of here. So they leave. And I think it's apparently like a zoot. It looks like a zoot suit they want to buy. Is what
yeah.
they're trying to get.
Right.
And they are there because there's like a contest to get. I think it's USO.
Yes, it's USO.
It's USO. They're sponsoring it, and if you do a great job dancing, you get an RKO movie contract.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of stakes involved.
Yes.
It's
weird that they're opening up the USO like dance hall to just civilians.
Well, they're not. That's the thing.
Oh,
they realize quickly that they're not only army officers, but people enlisted in the army can join.
Right, right.
And so at the dance hall, we cut to the civilians with the ladies who are helping serve in the USO. I don't really know what their like thing is, but they seem like
probably like nurses or
They just seem like ladies
stripers.
Are just there to like hang out with
the
men and
the
keep
men?
Them from lonely.
Yeah.
Which is like, oh, okay.
Bring them in.
Hostesses, I'll call them.
Sure.
And the main lady is like, you guys are going to have weird conversations with these weird guys who only have one thing on their mind because they're soldiers. And immediately a bunch of guys come in. They're all infatuated immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And Betty's there with her friend Chunk. Is her name Chunk? Or is it Chunk?
Is it the one that's like kind of like...
She's a little bigger.
Bigger, but not like... It's so funny because everyone's like, oh, she's hideous. I'm like, she's gorgeous. What are you talking? Is her name Chunk?
I swear I heard the word Chunk.
I'm going to look this up.
You should look it up, though, because that was the only thing I heard.
There's too many fucking people
There's
in
too
this
many
movie.
People in this movie.
Yeah.
But she's my favorite. She's one of my other favorite characters.
I liked her a lot. I'm a big fan of Chunk.
That's her name. Anyway, so that she's down. She really wants to hit up all these guys. She wants to find a hottie.
Yeah.
So then Wally goes and tries to buy a suit, but the shopkeeper clocks him as being poor and is just kind of like, I'll keep an eye on you. But he has a clever plan. His little blonde friend comes in and they sneak in into the dressing room. He's like, I gotta go try on this suit.
And they go try it in.
Kind of. Oh, it's okay. A little more stupid than that.
Oh, stupider?
Yeah.
That's obvious. That's the obvious thing to do.
Well, you can't just steal it. Like, it's a bunch of people walking around.
That's
it's a very
true.
Crowded area.
That's true.
So what they do is they get it. They sneak in an air raid siren. And they start cranking it in the dressing room.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone freaks out. And they just all run out. And he runs out with the suit. Because everyone.
Oh, okay. So he kind of does that. But it also
yes.
causes a lot of mischief.
Yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, they grab the wrong suit, I think. They are actually going to try to get a real cool suit, but then in the end they grab, I believe, that's when they grab the zoot suit, and then people make fun of him for that, because it's like, what are you doing?
I see. Okay.
Anyway, he says, he doesn't care, though. He just wants to find a way to dance with his girl, Betty. He
right.
Betty.
He's obsessed with Betty.
He's obsessed with Betty. And Betty loves him.
Yeah, Betty's obsessed with him as well.
Yeah.
They're going to wind up together. I'm sure nothing bad will happen
I'm sure
to anybody.
Nothing bad will happen with anything.
Yeah.
Cut to Death Valley. Death Valley, California. High
Isn't
noon.
It kind of crazy that this movie just takes place in and around California?
Yeah.
Like,
all
it's very
you just,
strange.
You get a bunch of little places. You're like, oh, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah,
yeah. I've
yeah.
seen that.
It's like, oh, yeah, I recognize
that. It's also,
that.
Like, minor places, too.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they go to, like, Riverside at one point.
Really?
Yeah.
a guy lands a plane on a highway. It's Jim Belushi. I don't say Jim. John Belushi.
Yeah, Jim Belushi's still alive.
Yes. John Belushi almost crashes directly into a gas station while landing.
Mm.
He hears a radio broadcast and this guy's listening to it. And he's like, oh, there's invasion fears. And John Belushi's like, ah, it's just war nerves. And he's like, but I heard it on the radio. He's like, which radio? That radio right here. And he pulls out a gun and shoots it.
Oh, yeah. He's Wild
he's
Bill.
A wild, crazy guy. Is that his name? Wild Bill?
It's Wild Bill. I don't remember his name. Wild Bill something, yeah.
Wild Bill something. Did you ever find out what that lady's name
is? I'm still looking it up. They really are hiding a lot of these people. Because there's so many fucking people
there's
in the cast.
So many people in the cast.
I will say, though, this is something I wanted to mention really quick. Do you know who wrote this movie?
The Japanese government.
The Japanese government did it so that they could convince us. No, it was Robert Zemeckis and Bob Kane, the guys who also made Back to the Future.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? I can see a lot of like similarities.
I could see it a little bit.
But it's also really crazy to think like they wrote like probably the greatest like trilogy of films ever and also this one.
It feels to me, what's weird is this movie, I actually looked it up.
Mm.
I was like, is this made around the same time as A Christmas Story? Because it feels like
the vibe
is very similar, just kind of like...
Except you like A Christmas Story.
Yeah, well, everyone's not screaming at each other all the time. It's not a million subplots, and it's just, yeah.
Her name is not Chunk.
What is it?
It's just Maxine.
Why do they call her Chunk? Maybe someone was just being mean.
I think someone was just being cruel.
Probably.
And that's the bad thing to do.
That is a bad thing to do.
She's apparently also in Back to the Future.
Huh.
Yeah. I think she might play Marty's sister or something.
Okay. Maxine. Yeah. All right.
Maxine is her name.
Well. Change that in my head because I didn't write it down at all. So.
Oh, she died.
Like in real life?
Yeah.
Wow, I mean,
she died in 2005, age 47.
Well, that's not very old.
Oh, this is just sad. She just died of like a very sad, tragic thing.
Oh, no.
She was so good in this movie.
She was good in this movie. She was very funny.
Yeah.
One of the few funny people I have to shout out.
She's also in I Want to Hold Your Hand.
I've never seen that movie.
It's another movie that's written by Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale, directed by Robert Zemeckis, and it's about a bunch of people who are going to go see the Beatles perform at the Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh.
Yeah.
That explains the name of the movie.
Exactly. Anyway, sorry, continue.
It doesn't matter. The plane, this guy's an idiot. The plane starts rolling away on its own.
Oh, that guy,
He shoots a gun in the air in frustration as the plane's flying away, and it hits a few... It is kind of funny, though, because he's walking away. The only thing that's funny is the visual gag.
Oh, yeah.
Because Spielberg knows how to, like, frame a shot.
He does!
So he's, like, walking towards the camera, and he shoots a gun in the air, and it hits, like, a transformer, and the transformer hits the gas fuel line that's going to the gas tank, and it explodes the whole gas tank while he's just walking. Which is funny, because at the beginning, you're like, oh, shit, he looks like he's almost going to hit
the gas pump.
And he doesn't. And then now he just shoots something in the air and it hits it anyway.
It just does it anyway.
Blows it up and he gets in his plane and leaves.
Yeah. See, that's what I mean by like cartoon logic that this movie does.
It is very cartoon.
He knows
logic.
How to shoot a movie like a cartoon, but then it's not, it's too long. Cartoons are like 30
cartoons
minutes
are short
long.
For a reason.
Yeah.
30 minutes long if you're lucky. 30 minutes usually gets two cartoons.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Anyway, now we're in Long Beach. In Long Beach, the general's there at Long Beach Airport is very annoyed. He's like, I'm fucking upset with all these people. They're panicking. I hate it. His aide is there as well, and his aide has the hots for this journalist that flew in. This is that B plot.
Yeah, I hated this fucking B plot.
It was terrible. It was the one probably.
This is one of the worst
of the
parts
worst
of the
ones.
Movie,
definitely
which
worst
is
three.
Which is saying something. Because
yeah.
there's nothing.
There's a lot of them where you're just like bored, and then there's some where you're just like, I want to get out of here.
Stop this. Yeah. Nancy Ellen is the woman who plays the lady. She's an amazing actor. She's in Carrie.
She's pretty. I mean, she does a good job.
She's
given
in RoboCop.
Fuck yeah, RoboCop. Fuck. Now that's a movie. Have you guys seen RoboCop? You haven't seen RoboCop yet?
Watch RoboCop.
Go out there. It's crazy.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Showgirls.
She was married to Brian De Palma.
That's crazy.
She's an amazing actor.
She's fun.
And they give her nothing. They give her nothing
in this
movie.
They gave her a lot to work with, but it was all bullshit.
Yeah.
I think they gave her a lot. It was just garbage.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's the one that's always trying to bang the like guy, right? That's all it is?
There's a little more to it.
Oh, okay. Tell me more then.
So, we see... excuse me. She's not a journalist. I wrote down journalist, but she's actually a secretary.
Oh.
That's true. And so, the aide, the secretary are going to try to get in with each other. But she... loves airplanes is what's revealed
she's
to this
obsessed.
Guy. She's obsessed with airplanes. In
turns
fact,
her on.
She only fucks in airplanes. So
Mile High Club.
She saw. I know. She's all about the mile. She's only Mile High Club.
She's only Mile High Club.
She sees a B-17 and is just like, oh my god, ooh la la.
Yeah.
And anyway, so that guy, the aide, tries to flirt with these awful aviation puns.
Can I ask something really quick?
Huh.
Is this why they're looking for a plane? Is because they want to fuck in a plane?
Yes, that's exactly
that it. Is so stupid.
His whole thing
That's so stupid.
Let me break down this plot, so I don't want to explain every little bit of this. But basically, he wants to bang her so bad.
Yeah.
And he can't fly.
Yeah.
Because he fucking failed out of flight school.
Right, right.
So he isn't able to fly. But if he thinks if he could just get her onto a plane.
Yeah, maybe they can bang.
They can do it. So, in fact, he's like, yeah, I was in flight school, and tries flirting with her. She's like, oh, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, I can show you the cockpit here of this plane. She's like, ooh, I would love that.
So cockpit.
They get up there.
I'd love if you would put your cock in my pit.
I was waiting for that joke. Surprisingly not. That's only for
shocking.
Our podcast.
Yeah, exactly. That's a little too risque for this movie.
Yeah, this movie. has little nudity in it.
I was going to say, yeah, this one reserves it for slurs.
Yeah. Woohoo! So then, so he gets up there and she sits in the pilot seat and he like says, close your eyes. And they start like pretending to like take off and fly. And he's like, okay, I gotta like drop the bombs. At the same time, she's pressing all the buttons and the buttons are doing things.
Right.
And as she's like pulling parts of like, she's like, pull up. She pulls up and these guys like fly off because the plane's actually moving. They're like trying to paint it. Somewhat funny.
That's pretty funny.
And he keeps talking about all these things like, yeah. And then he's like, all right. She starts opening her shirt. It's like, and then bombs away. And then they pull open like the bomb and the bomb doors. And then the bomb like is like, they're about ready to press the button to literally release the bomb. She's like, you know, this won't work. I'm sorry.
It needs to be in the air.
Yeah. And he's like, come on, let's do it. Like, come on. She's like, you know, I've been trained by my dad for fighting or something like that. So don't fucking try anything funny with me. And he's like, well, come here. And he tries to get her. And she just fucking punches him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And
then
like,
does he say, like, I'm in trouble now?
Pretty much.
He says that the entirety of my half of the movie. And I'm like, oh, is this supposed to be like his little catchphrase now?
I guess so.
Do you want me to tell you how that story ends?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. We'll get there, though.
It's so fucking lame, dude.
Yeah, yeah. But she's very excited. It gets very horny about all of this. Yeah. But yeah, she's got to have the real thing. And he's just like, oh, damn. But while they're doing that, I think they knock over one of the buttons in the cockpit and literally do release the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And at this moment, the general is at a press conference. He's saying, I can assure you, it's great citizens of California, no bombs will be dropped here. And then a bomb just starts rolling. It's pretty funny visually.
Oh, yeah.
Rolling forward. And they go, a bomb! And then it goes in the corner and explodes. They're like, ah! It's very funny.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, God.
Ethan's just looking at his notes, and he's like, oh, no, I don't want to talk about this.
There's just parts I forget, and I'm just like, this is so not funny. Okay, so Wally wants to dance with Betty, right?
Right.
But he shows up in the goofy-ass outfit. He kind of looks like he's right. He looks like he's from The Mask.
The zoot suit, yeah.
And he keeps dancing his way towards the club, but the bouncers, they are like, hey, get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here. We don't want you in here. So Betty doesn't want to go, but her dad's like, you have to go because you're an American.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, fine, you know what, Wally, I'll wait for you afterwards. And Wally then sneaks over to her dad's place to meet them. And they're talking, but they're talking. And I was worried that basically Betty's dad hates Wally.
Got it.
Like a lot.
Yeah.
So in fact, he comes out with a shotgun because he apparently like burned down their barn or something like that.
Oh, shit.
He's just an idiot.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Do you recognize Betty's dad?
No. He just looks very familiar.
Famous actor Ned Beatty.
Uh huh.
Yeah. And then did you see Betty's mom?
Only for a minute. I didn't recognize her.
She is the mom in Jaws. She's the lady in Jaws.
Oh, that's funny. Callbacks.
Yeah.
Anyway, he pulls out a shotgun, is like waiting to get him. And
also, they have like three children, too.
They have three children who are all significantly
younger.
They're
so young compared to Betty. Yeah.
Betty's like probably what? Like early 20s?
Probably.
Maybe?
These kids are like children.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Damn, Ned Beatty, you're still like shooting some sperm at this age.
She's like a shotgun.
Yeah, he's all right. Not shooting blanks.
Not shooting blanks over here. So he shows a shotgun, is going to shoot him. But then Betty runs away along with her friend. I forgot her name.
Maxine. Yeah.
And they fall into a pit. And
it's a pit.
A pit because the three kids built a Japanese trap.
Mm.
And they fall into it. and they
see, these are the things that back in the day everyone's like, oh yeah, I remember making Japanese traps.
Yeah. Back in the day, you were scared and nervous.
Yeah.
I bet there are definitely people who did that though.
Oh yeah, totally. And that's what this movie was appealing to.
Exactly. And they're like, damn, that's horrible. So they get stuck in there, but then suddenly, while Wally's hiding in the garage, by the way, this house, I should explain a very key part of this house. The house is set on,
oh yes, the edge of
Malibu or something like that. Like it's on the edge of something.
Anyway, yeah,
but it's a beautiful cliffside.
But it's a cliffside.
Yeah,
that comes into play later.
And so the army shows up and they're like, we have to build an anti-aircraft gun here.
Yes, yes.
And they're also really stupid and the army like drives in through their home and like put the aircraft gun bursts through the door.
Yeah.
And so they're just goofy and incompetent. So that's fun.
Their house just gets destroyed.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah. And they're like, hey, can we put an anti-air gun here? It's strategic. And the mom is like, no. But the dad's like, let me go talk to him. Like, mm-hmm. I needed to like really have this whole thing work out. Like, you know, this is part of being American is like setting this up and like letting the army do what they want with our land. And she's like, oh, whatever. And what's that guy's name?
Ned Beatty?
No. The
Wally.
No, the one Maxine. Main actor in this. Dan Aykroyd is the guy who's brought in the whole thing.
Got it.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
And he earlier when, watching Wally get into it with the shitty guy,
mm-hmm.
he said, I hate to see an American fighting an American.
He doesn't like that. Thing.
He hates that. So he sees this again with the dispute between
husband and wife.
Yeah, he's like, you guys got to come together. I hate seeing an American fighting another American. Mm. And they're like, fine. So I think they relent. Meanwhile, there's this little guy. I don't know his name. He's very eccentric, and he's modified his car to be like a tank.
I don't know this person.
He is all about like, we have to, oh no, you know, he's the guy who sets up the dummy dude and the guy who has to suffer with dummy dude in the Ferris wheel. He's
okay.
Like on neighborhood watch sort of thing. He's like, trying to do everything.
Is he like a cop?
Maybe. I don't see a cop thing in a mall, but he seems pretty annoying. So probably.
He's all about like turn off lights and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
Okay, so that's very famous character actor Dick Smith.
Uh-huh.
He's also in Gremlins and The Burbs.
Uh-huh.
He's also in Piranha. He's the mayor in Piranha.
Oh, okay.
And also the guy that's on the Ferris wheel that isn't the annoying dude with the dummy, the older man. That's the mayor in Jaws.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that interesting?
That is funny.
Yeah.
A lot of reused characters. A lot of Jaws characters. That's why they have a Jaws reference.
Yeah, a lot of Jaws references.
They were like, everyone's like, oh, we all got cast in this new movie, 1941. That lady who's on the beach is like, well, I want a part two.
Yeah, he'll be naked.
All right. Great gag. It'd be hilarious. So he's like, whatever. They're going to do their own thing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, I can't believe we're putting the gun there. This is crazy.
Yeah.
So then, shitty guy sees Betty in the pit and pulls her up, but then gets told by a captain, like, help. And he drops her immediately into the pit. And then he goes and is, like, pissed off because, like, I can't believe the captain called on me. So he goes into the garage. He's, like, good fucking so mad. And he, like, throws a fucking brick.
Jesus.
He's just so mad. And while he sees this, he's hiding the whole time. He's like, oh, my God, I don't want to get caught by this guy. He's crazy. Yeah. And then Betty shows up. His name's Stretch.
Stretch.
They call him Stretch.
Okay.
Betty walks in.
People kept calling
happened.
Him Stretch, but I thought it was like when you call somebody like Buddy, you know? Like
or Chunk.
Yeah. Or Chunk. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No, Stretch is his nickname. They call him that. It's like something Sertoski or something, but they call him Stretch. Betty walks in. That's what happened. He's suddenly super polite. Apologizes for dropping her in a hole earlier.
Mm.
And it's just like, yeah, well, what happened to the other guy? And then Wally falls down because like all the structural problems that have happened to this poor garage, he falls.
Yeah.
And they immediately are like, man, fuck this guy. They throw him in literally the trash collector. They throw him in the trash.
Damn.
And a bunch of soldiers fight him and like they punch him a bit and they throw him in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like,
oh, it's so God. Funny.
Yeah, it was. It was weird.
So that's super funny, man.
Yeah. So let me go to the, well, it's been so long. We got to go back to the stars.
My man Belushi and Dan Aykroyd.
No, the guys in the sub, the Japanese guys.
Oh yeah, those guys.
Those guys.
Gotta check in with those guys.
They're lost. They're still not in L.A. The Nazi guys like should have had Nazis run this, and they're like, no. Oh God, I forgot I said this.
The captain of
the ship is like, no, our crew is descendant from ninja assassins. Oh, we will never be spotted.
Oh no.
And so the next time we see them, they're all dressed
like ninjas.
No, Christmas trees, Mike. They're dressed as Christmas trees.
Right, because it's Christmas time.
It's Christmas
time. This is officially a Christmas movie.
In a weird way, yes. And they're dressed as Christmas trees at a Christmas tree lot.
Mm.
And I like it because one guy is smoking a cigarette as a tree.
That's pretty
and it's
sweet.
Pretty funny.
I like that. Yeah.
And this drunk guy drives up.
Mm-hmm. Oh no!
Hollis Woods Christmas trees.
Oh.
He drives up.
Yeah.
But before then, the reason they stay here is they look at this and they look at Hollis Wood and they say Hollywood.
Right.
Because they think it's Hollywood. So they think they made it.
Right. Because they don't know anything.
They don't know. They can't read.
They're stupid.
And they go and they hide here. And the drunk guy, Hollywood, goes. And he's like, I saw this. Some trees got away from old Hollywood. I'm just going to knock him over. He gets
an axe.
Gets an axe and tries hitting one. But it's funny because the tree falls over.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, that's weird. And he goes over to the other one. I'm going to get this one. He tries smacking it and it jumps. And then eventually knock him over and it take a shit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was a cute little visual gag.
That's cute.
John Belushi. John Belushi is lost. He's in a plane. He's in the Grand Canyon now. He's like, I think I went the wrong way.
Yeah.
That's kind of the whole scene.
He doesn't know where he's going.
He just does shit. He just is like, you know what's funny? I got a Coca-Cola here. I'm crazy. I'm going to hit the Coca-Cola, break the bottle, and just drink it. I'm crazy.
Yeah.
I have my
Wild
open.
Bill.
I'm crazy. That's his gag.
It does feel a little bit like when you're like a kid and like everyone like, it's like, he's a wild card character, right? Where it's like, oh yeah, I'll be like a soldier and I'll be this. And then it's like, I'm going to be a crazy guy.
I'm the crazy
and
guy.
It's like, that's not fun. That's not fun for anybody.
So they hijack the drunk guy, Hollywood.
Yeah.
They steal him. They bring him on the U-boat. And they want to get him to show where Hollywood is. And he's like, oh my God. The joke obviously is, I'm right here. We want to go where Hollywood is.
My name is Hollis Wood.
I'm right here. And he's like, you want to bomb John Wayne, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, sure, whatever. We can fuck that guy up.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
And then he sees the Nazis. He's like, I knew a Nazi was here. We fought you all in the Great War and won. And then at this moment, I thought, is this what happened to John McCain? Is this what happened to him? He got caught.
Yeah, this
everyone?
Is how it got. Yeah,
and he to do all this stupid shit.
I'm John McCain, Hollywood.
I'm Hollywood.
Yeah.
So they take all the stuff. They take all the stupid shit he has. And
yeah.
I like this part. They open up a Cracker Jack box and they open up the little toy inside, and it's a little toy compass. They're like, oh, our compass works.
It works, yeah.
And then fucking Hollywood goes and he's an American. He eats the comes over and eats the compass.
What the fuck? They're like,
yeah, I don't think I'll let you guys get this. You're not going to get any sense of direction. And they're like, we have our secret weapon. Prune juice.
Pretty funny.
And they put him down. They make him drink prune juice.
That's pretty funny.
That's pretty funny. I thought that part was funny.
Yeah. What happens next? He's just rubbing his eyes. Looking at the rest of the script.
No, I don't remember my notes because it's just fucking insane. Like this movie. So this is the part where they go to Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy rough guy, the character actor you're talking about, and this weird high-pitched guy. This is the first time we see him. And the guy from the Jaws Mayor.
Right. Mandark.
They're all there. And this little crazy guy's voice.
Mandark.
That's his name?
No, he's from he's the voice of Mandark from Dexter's Laboratory.
Oh, he's in a lot of cartoons, it seems
he
like.
He is a big
you know
voice
what?
Actor.
He's got a cartoon-ass voice.
He
comes
truly
in and
does.
He's like, oh, boy, I want to work these. Wow, what's this? Wow.
Yeah.
This is a Ferris wheel?
That's his whole shtick.
This button says, don't push this. I'm going to push it.
Oh, my God.
And then they're like, don't push that. So you have all these people turn up to 11. You know, this guy put up the 13.
Yeah, this guy's above and beyond.
And
he's also in Polar Express.
Of course he is.
He's a little kid in Polar Express.
He's a little kid?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's a little kid in Polar Express.
I guess Tom Hanks is the only one who's not a kid, right?
But he does play a kid in that as well.
Wait, what? Yeah. I've never seen Polar Express.
Oh, well, he plays everybody. He plays a kid. He plays the guy. He plays Santa Claus. He plays the guy that is the running the Polar
Tyler
Express.
Perry. Get out of
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I know.
Get the fuck out of here, Tom Hanks. You can't do that.
You can't do that.
Oh, my Tom God. Hanks. I can't believe I'm spending so much time with this fucking movie. Okay.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, no. It's not your fault. It's just I need to get through this shit.
Just cut shit.
I know. I need to cut
There's
shit.
Nothing that's important.
There's nothing that's important. This guy goes up there. There's a fucking whole joke about this guy being annoying. And then he's like, all right, just stop talking.
You're right. And it's funny when a character is annoying.
And so they have to, so one character says, stop talking. On top of Ferris wheel, he's stuck with this guy. He's doing a civil duty to watch for the Japanese that they're going to
attack. So that's why they're on the Ferris wheel. That's why they're on there. Because they're waiting
great
for the Japanese
great
to show
view.
Got it.
And he's like, stop talking. And then immediately a little pulls a dummy out.
Dummy comes
and
out.
And says, like, you're scared of heights, huh? That's because I cut out all the boring shit, Mike.
No, I don't, but this is better.
Yeah.
It was crazy cutting, because I was like, I think I've got a grep on like what all the characters are and how they play to each other. It was insane cutting to like two guys and a dummy. And I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
Why is
this
in the
movie
too?
That's me when I read that notes again. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, this part. All these guys are watched, so now all these dudes are sitting around in the U-boat watching this guy trying to poop. He's waiting for the poop.
Oh, right, because they gave him the prune juice. Yep. Yeah.
He's trying to poop out a compass.
Doesn't this kind of feel like The Longest Day a little bit?
Like the movie or
yeah,
my life?
Yeah, the movie. Or the two, yeah.
I haven't seen The Longest Day in a long time, but kind
of. It's been a bit for me as well, but it reminds me of the same thing where it's just like just one long day where everyone's just doing something and we keep cutting back and forth.
But that movie's at least
good.
Yeah, some shit's happening. Well, this is just people faffing about. People faffing
it's
about.
A lot of faffing, this
it's a
movie.
A lot of faffing
yeah.
about. But I love it, though, because all these guys are watching this guy take a shit, and the Japanese captain comes down, and he's just like, this has not been honorable. And so then the fucking guy is like, get out. If I had some space, maybe I could poop. So we're like, fine. They all wait outside.
Yeah.
And he just starts like dropping his shoes and the toilets make sounds.
Right.
And then he disappears and they all come in. They're like, oh, I must have done it. And they're like, where is he? And then he drops down and fucking knocks the guys out and they start shooting guns. It starts making like the whole place drops into the chaos because he got this one stupid guy got to jump on these dudes.
Uh-huh.
And everyone starts shooting guns. He then escapes off the top of the U-boat and says, God bless America. And he escapes, but then he starts swimming. He's like, out over the beaches. And they're like, wow, what a waste.
That's pretty funny.
So then, now we're on Hollywood Boulevard itself. Dumbo's in theaters.
Dumbo.
The general just wants to go watch Dumbo.
Yeah, baby. It was nice watching Dumbo in this movie, I will say.
Yeah.
I watched it, like, clips of it for the movie because it's in the movie, and I'm like, wow, this movie's good.
Dumbo cooking, dude.
Yeah.
This general has good taste. They're talking about this general appearing. And there's a place with a bunch of airplanes and the secretary and the aide or the aide's like, oh, I got to go. I can go help with that. There's a lot of planes there. Hey, secretary, you want to come with me? It's like,
there you go.
Yeah, I'll go with you. And then she says, like, I have a headache. Can I not watch Dumbo? And he's like, yeah, whatever. I don't care. It's like, how are you going to get home? You want me to call a taxi? It's like, no. Horny guy over here will take me. She's like, all right. And then they're like, some guy's like, hey, Captain, you know you flunked out of flight school. Like, and he's like, it won't get that far. It'll be fine. We'll figure out something.
Yeah, I got an F in flight school, and I'm going to F her.
Hey.
Hey.
Don't give me an A somewhere. At least it'll put me up to a D. There you go. That's the
it
joke I'm
so
looking
upset.
For. This movie's making
so
me feel like it's making me unfunny.
No, you're funny. You're so funny.
Hey, you know, some days. I at least know how to edit myself sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
The wife of the anti-air gun family now is like, we should, you know, if you want to get curtains, like blackout curtains, you know, I could redo this whole place. I don't know. The man's like, whatever. One of the sons is drinking soup out of a gas mask, which is very funny to me.
Yeah.
Very stupid.
Yes.
Betty is then going to go. She's like, I'm going to go to this dance. And the dad's like, I have to go talk to you. I have to talk to you a lot.
I have to go talk to you.
Sits down. We haven't had a father-daughter talk in a while. And he's like, you're going to be meeting a lot of strange men in uniform tonight. Mm-hmm. That's going to be weird. And they're going to have one thing on their mind.
They keep saying that.
Yeah, one thing on their mind. And you know what
it
I say to
disgusting.
That? show him a good time. Then he leaves. Which Lindsay at this point went, what the fuck is happening? To which I agree.
That's fair. That's fair.
This movie is crazy.
Show him a good time.
Show him a good time. And she looks shocked too. She's like, yeah. What the fuck, Dad? Because that guy's all about doing his American duty.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a funny concept that you're so American. You're like, I'll just fucking...
I'm going to
give these men anything they want. It's like,
I'm going to, like, yeah, pass my daughter around.
Yeah.
That feels very like, oh my God, in the Bible, the guy who's just like, all right, you can have sex with my daughters, but don't have sex with these angels. You know?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? What the fuck is the name of that guy?
I don't fucking remember.
It was in Sodom and Gomorrah.
I don't know. That's why that place was burned down,
yeah,
right?
That's true. Exactly. Everyone's like, no, we want to have sex with those angels. Fuck your daughters. Let's have sex with them angels, boy.
I remember a lot of the Old Testament. There's a lot
fair.
Of crazy stuff.
There's some crazy shit.
There's some crazy shit
in
that.
Lot? Is that his name? Lot?
Oh, yeah. He was like, I want to have a lot of sex with your daughters. He's like, no.
No.
Not the angels.
Don't have sex with the angels. I know they're very sexy, but please do not fuck
the angels.
All
those fucking eyes. Arms. Beings you can't comprehend.
And everyone's like, yeah, all those arms.
We had a 3-for-1 deal with all those arms. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. Let's see.
Can't spell angel without anal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Michael, stop.
I'm sorry.
We got to get to a different kind of racism in this movie, all right?
Oh, yes. Wait, there's more? Oh.
Because we've seen the black guy come in.
Yeah.
Odin Johnson comes in. He's got an order. He's supposed to be here. They're kind of racist.
Yeah.
This is probably. I think this might have been one of the first times they're integrating the army together.
Uh-huh.
So there's some racism is what they're kind of playing on. But here, kind of is like, no, people are just racist.
Yeah.
Because you know,
like John
people,
Candy's
John
racist
Candy's
too,
there.
Yeah.
He's from the South or whatever.
Yeah,
I assume, or maybe he's just a racist guy. But he basically is like, you got to get out of here.
Yeah,
and he's like, this guy loves crossing lines.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, here's a Mason-Dixon line. And the guy's like, I want to cross it.
Yeah.
Here's this other line. I want to cross it. Here's the other line. Cross it. He crosses all the way out of the barracks. And then he gets locked out.
He's out,
and then
yeah.
He's like, you tricked me. And he punches through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that joke was. It's
super funny.
It was just bad. Should have edited that one out. Anyway, Wally's here with his friends. They're going to get in a fight with fucking the shitty guy. Shitty guy Stretch. Literally lights Wally on fire because Wally's an idiot.
What the fuck?
He lights his back on fire.
Oh my God.
And he's like, woo-hoo-hoo, because his zoot suit's so big.
Mm-hmm.
Betty shows up. He's like, Wally, I love you. She's like, I want you too, but I can't go in there. They don't allow me. They only allow servicemen in there.
Right.
And then, what's her name? Stephanie?
Maxine.
Maxine is like, I want to dance, and I'm really horny. Let me go in there. Wally's having a bad fucking day.
Yeah, he really is. He got lit on fire.
his friend Dennis, the blonde guy.
Oh, that's his name.
I think. Don't get me wrong. I wrote Chuck a bunch of times in here, so. So don't trust me. Dennis got a costume.
Yeah, Dennis is his name.
Okay.
I looked it up.
That's because literally I was like, Dennis.
Yep. That helps.
Someone was
Chunk did not come up
probably
once.
Someone was just mean to Chunk. Costume for $2. He bought a fucking fake army outfit to get in there.
Wow.
You get all the bras is what he says.
Jeez.
So instead of buying an outfit, Wally goes and knocks a guy out and steals his outfit.
Holy shit.
And he gets pretty mad.
Wow.
Someone tries to egg Stretch.
Oh, that guy. That guy's running around in his underwear.
Yep, that guy.
Got it. Okay.
Yep, it's coming into play.
Yeah.
Cut to the general. He's watching Dumbo cry while his mom's fucking singing a sad song.
Yeah, man. Baby Mine.
Baby Mine. And the fake pilot guy's trying to smash. They're trying to figure out a way about getting on the plane.
Yeah.
She's like, if you get me in a plane, I'll show you forward thrust. Stretch dances with Betty by spinning her around very aggressively, kind of wild, just being like...
Stretch is a bad guy.
Thrown around by this guy. Wally eventually breaks in.
Yeah.
Actually, no. She leaves, and then he walks in with her and then starts dancing with her, which is nice. And the jitterbug contest goes.
Yes.
And they all start dancing. 7-year contract with RKO Pictures.
They
start dancing pretty much. I mean, yeah, that's the thing, is now it becomes like a super long shot of
dancing.
Stretch... chasing Wally while he's trying to win the jitterbug contest at the same time.
Yes.
And In some ways, it's impressive, but most of the time, it's kind of messy and hard to follow.
Yeah,
to be honest.
That's fair. I was, like, kind of impressed. Something you didn't mention is that the dance floor has Hitler's face on it. So, like, they're all dancing to Hitler's face.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah. I was like, that's a cool idea. Like, yeah. Literally dancing all over Hitler.
That's funny.
Yeah.
It seems like someone's promoting him a little bit more.
No, because they're stepping on him.
But, like...
And also, he looks really ugly.
I feel
but you're
like,
right. If I were to walk into a dance floor and they have Hitler's face on the
ground... I don't think it's like, oh, we're dancing on him. I think, like, I don't know. Why is it on the floor? Why is it here at all?
The only you really put a lot of effort into this.
You have to be like something like, well, we're dancing on him. Are you dancing to celebrate him?
Yeah,
are you,
yeah.
Because like, unless you're putting him on like a shooting target, I'm a little questionable about what you're doing with that Hitler
target.
Yeah,
put some
thing.
Like a target on his face. Yeah, that's a smart move. I wrote that everyone is excited about Wally's dancing skills. He ends up getting punched out by the guy in the underwear. And so then a big fight breaks out amongst everyone. All one big shot of the tension growing. A bell dings and everyone jumps in. I wrote down, the energy is fantastic. A shot of total chaos. It feels like a cartoon. A man who
likes into this.
I was already.
This part was good.
This part was great. Yeah, we have one shot, which is crazy, where it's like somebody's like running up like some steps and then gets punched out. And then we follow another person running up some more steps. And that guy gets punched out.
Yeah,
and somebody,
I did watch a little over
swings.
It. I actually was like. Oh, wow. The movie started to get kind of an interesting part. Why would I have to stop?
Yeah, it was great. I was like, this part rocks, but I'm literally just starting. Yep. I wrote down, a man who I suspect is there to keep people updated for the radio, I'm assuming the Jitterbug contest, mm-hmm. is calling the events that's occurring like it's a fight. He's just like, and now this person is punching somebody. And that was pretty funny. So now we go to the bomb disbursement unit in Barstow. This is where the guy who wants to fuck the lady who wants to fuck yep. in a plane... And they arrive, and they think that he's Japanese, so they're like, check him for stilts, because Japanese
guy?
People are short.
Okay.
Isn't that funny? And so it's a joke, and they hug him, and he's confused, and he was anticipating more troops, and he admits that they don't have any bombers, but they do have one plane, and the lady's like, that plane is perfect. And I'm like, okay, they must need this plane for some kind of, like, covert operation.
Yeah.
But now I'm
You're
like,
right.
no, they, yeah, exactly.
You're not wrong.
Not wrong. And
it's
they're
not
like
a sanctioned operation.
But they're like the plane doesn't have a radio, and they need the radio to like let people know like we are not unfriendly. We are like we're a good plane. And so then the commander's like, don't worry, like I'll call on the telephone, let everyone know, like just ignore this plane. They get in the plane, they fly off, and as they're flying off, there's not enough like room on the runway, and so they end up running into a radio tower and telephone wire. So now they are flying without anyone knowing that they are actually bad.
Oh no,
yeah.
I can't imagine that will go bad in this paranoid area.
Radio signal reaches the army base with Dan Aykroyd, and as we all know, Dan Aykroyd doesn't like when Americans are fighting Americans, and at that Jitterbug competition,
there's a lot of Americans fighting Americans.
So he's like, "Men, we got to go and break up the dance hall."
Oh, you know one thing?
What?
Not enough racism in this movie, right? Just to let you know, Wally's Mexican, so they all say like Mexicans like stuff, big mean things to.
That's cool.
Just FYI,
big fan of that too.
Yeah,
I didn't notice.
I didn't notice it once because it didn't really come up, but then once he's hanging out with his friends and they all
start like
other people start making fun of him, and I'm like, cool.
This shit, it's not funny.
I mean, it's weird because it's like, that's the thing. This stuff you can depict in a more serious way or just like,
yeah,
it just doesn't fit the
or
vibe.
Or like make
of this
fun
movie.
Of the racists.
Yeah. That's exactly. Instead of just being like, yeah, that happened. It's like, okay.
It's because like I was watching this movie and I'm like, I feel like if I was a kid, I would really love this movie because it's got so much energy to it.
Yeah.
Like, this is the perfect movie to put a kid in front of.
Oh, yeah, great movie.
Except for the racism shit. Like, yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like, because, like, otherwise, this movie is just pure, like, spectacle. Like,
oh, and the misogyny, too.
Oh, yeah, the misogyny is bad as well. But like I said, that's like Pepe Le Pew shit. Like, kids see that kind of stuff in
so it's
Looney
okay.
Tunes
it's
shit
okay
all the
to
time.
Throw that in.
It goes over their heads. They don't understand. Uh-huh. They're just like, ah, I'm chasing ladies.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, it's bad. But what I'm saying is, like, there's certain aspects of the movie, like the general vibe and atmosphere and energy of it, I think a child would like. But then you include all this other weird shit. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't think anybody would like
this.
You know
what's reminding me a lot of is Mad Mad World a little bit?
Yeah, totally.
But
Mad Mad World's better.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if there's problematic things in that. Probably.
Probably.
It's been a long time since I've seen that. But it has the same kind of vibe. Of
or
like,
Rat Race.
Going, rat
also,
Race, yeah.
Yeah, which also has some weird shit in it as well. Yeah. Anyway, so the radio signal reaches Dan Aykroyd, and he's just like, we got to go break up that fight because we can't have Americans fighting Americans. So they get in a tank. They get in a tank and they go to stop that. We see a man watching Dumbo, and he's quoting along with the movie because he loves it so much. And he's alerted that there's rioting in the streets. And he's like, that's a matter for the police. Don't worry about any of that. Like, we're here to handle the Japanese. And he just goes back to watching Dumbo. And I'm like, this guy rocks. John Belushi lands at an airbase. They check to see if he's got stilts. Because they think that he's Japanese, which only annoys him. So he knocks the guy out. He says that he's Wild Bill Kelso, and he hears that there's a secret airbase in Pomona, and he belligerently gets back in the plane. Did you hear this? Where, like, whenever he moves or falls, they add, like, squeaky toy sound effects?
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, well, that happens.
I like that.
And then he flies off to take care of the Japanese. Girl in the plane tries coming onto the pilot. And I was like, I didn't know what the fuck this was about. I thought all of a sudden she just had, like, this desire to fuck him. But now I realize that's the entire point of getting the plane was. And she says, do you think it'll stay up for a long time? And I wrote down, he's clueless. But clearly he wasn't. Like, that's the whole point he got in the thing in the first place.
Yeah.
They're nearing the Riverside County Reservoir. And she's ripping his clothes off.
Oh yeah.
And then, but then she says that he isn't airborne yet, so he doesn't have a boner.
Going?
He doesn't have a boner just yet.
But he seems so horny.
He's not just
rocking that joystick the whole time.
I know, man. I know. Apparently, it's Christmas. The fight breaks out into the city. Wrote down backlot street. It's massive. So many extras. Cars smashing into windows. The USO show. I wrote down. That makes sense. Now that's why there's all these people here. Tanks arrive. Ackroyd pulls a gun. He's shooting in there and he shuts everyone up. He's like, stop fighting, and he tries to unite everybody. There's a girl, huh?
Does it work?
It does. Everyone actually stops.
Oh, nice.
There's a girl looking around for Wally. I have no idea what is going on with this story. And then Stretch, I now know, is following that girl whose name is Betty. And then there's also Maxine who's looking for Stretch. So I'm just like, there's four people. I don't understand what the fuck is going on with the four of them. People are keeping track of maps. They call a red alert in LA because they think that the Japanese are attacking. An alarm goes off throughout the city. They are under attack. The Japanese are watching a woman bathing, and this is the family that lives on the seaside.
Who's bathing? Just some random lady?
No, the lady, the mom, the Betty's mom.
Yeah, yeah, okay,
you see Betty's mom bathing, and they're just like, "Whoa, look at that lady!" And then Betty's dad sees them with binoculars, sees the Japanese U-boat. And then he's like, oh, shit. So he collects a shotgun, but he's too nervous to load his shells. And so he's like, I'm going to take on the Japanese all by myself. And luckily, something I didn't realize is that he has fucking a missile launcher by his house.
Well, the anti-aircraft gun.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know how I'm supposed to shoot the sub.
He's going to try.
I mean, they did give him like a brief overview.
Very brief. So, yeah. So he's going to take that brief overview and try shooting the sub. But that's another story. People, the plane with the guy who wants to fuck the lady are flying over the military while they're waiting for the Japanese to attack. They think that he's flying a Japanese plane. And so in the middle of sex, they are getting shot at. And she's like, oh, my God, this is incredible. Because she thinks that it's like an orgasm, but really it's just them getting shot at. And they get shot.
Wow, that's sad.
Yeah, and then they get shot down and they land in the La Brea tar pits.
Ah, this is just like California's gold, insane.
It
edition.
Really is like that. And that's the end of their story, by the way.
That's pretty much it.
At the very end, they just fuck. They just keep fucking. They're just going to wind up together forever. That's the end of their story, though, basically.
Cool.
I wrote down, there's some really cool miniature.
I'm glad I waited.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm glad I waited.
There's some cool miniature of the two planes flying through the city. It reminds me of Always. Wally comes to, and they offer him a dancing contract because he was, like, knocked out at first. They offer him a dancing contract, but he's looking for Betty. He leaves the dance hall and helps Dan Aykroyd with Emma. A Santa Claus falls on Dan Aykroyd's head, knocking him out. Before he passes out, he tells Wally to knock out all the lights in the street. None of this fucking matters. I wrote down, how is there still so much of the movie left?
That's always a great sign when you write that.
It's seriously, the army.
This is definitely one where I was clicking every soft and being like, all right, what are we doing here?
How much are we, how further are we in? Army fires on Wild Bill Kelso. This is John Belushi, who says that he's going to head to the ocean to land safely and evade the attacks. But as he's going to the ocean, he sees the German or the Japanese submarine. There's a Ferris wheel with the mayor from Jaws, the voice of Mandark, and also a dummy.
Forgot about these guys.
Yes. The dummy spots the Japanese sub as well. I wrote down, what in the fuck is going on? So they're like, we need to shoot the Japanese sub and we need to shoot the plane. So they shoot at the plane and they shoot down John Belushi. Betty is fully assaulted by Stretch. Like, fully assaulted by Stretch.
How'd they get together?
Stretch just
ran up to her? Oh,
Betty and just grabbed her and fucking put her under a fucking like car and shit, and then just like all over. It's fucking awful. She screams for Wally, who goes up and beats up Stretch, and then uses a tank to chase Betty down, and he grabs Betty, and she at first tries to push him off of her because she's like, oh my god, that was so scary, I just got assaulted. But then she kisses him because now it's all cool.
Yeah.
John Belushi crash lands. He's bleeding from the head, and there's a giant Uncle Sam dressed like Santa that lands on top of him. And he tells Wally about the submarine. So Wally and all the other guys in the tank go to take care of the Japanese submarine that's in the water.
Okay.
And then after that, John Belushi comes to and steals a motorcycle with a sidecar, and he's going to go like follow the tank. And he picks up Stretch and Maxine, and they get in the sidecar, and I don't know why they do that. And then he just like lets them go of the sidecar.
They have a uniform on. They must be cool.
And then they land in eggs.
So why do you let go of the sidecar?
I don't know. I don't know why he did that.
He's crazy.
He's
That's
wild.
The thing. If he's just a crazy person, they're like, well, he can do whatever he wants. He's funny.
Just a crazy guy.
But like, if you have a character just as crazy, them just doing shit for no reason is not funny.
No, I agree with you, man. Especially this late in the fucking movie.
Yeah. Like, okay. Also, the whole thing turns into like chaos at this point.
It is. It's fully chaotic. Like, it was really hard taking notes because it was just like, what is important? What's the thing that's going to come into play later? I'm also like mixing, because they keep cutting back and forth. So I'm mixing a lot of stuff that happened later in the movie into like one like paragraph, essentially. You
that's
know?
Fair.
Apparently, the guy who lives near the beach, Ned Beatty, Betty's dad, and he was given the anti-air ammunition and missile. So him and his family, his children, are going to get it working. And they shoot at the sub. And it's pointed directly at the house because the gun is too close to the house because he can't move, like, the actual, like...
It's too big.
It's too big. So he ends up just shooting through the house, a big hole in the house, and he just barely misses.
So American.
Yeah. Wally shoots at Dick Miller, the cop, and tells him to turn the lights off. And everyone seems to think that's really cool. The Nazi on the Japanese sub pulls out a gun and tells them to submerge. And they don't want to. So then they kick him off the submarine. And they kill him.
They kill him?
Yeah, he's dead.
Wow. That's like the first death.
But it really is. Which is crazy to think about for a war movie.
I know.
Betty's dad shoots through his house. The missile lands in front of the submarine. And when he shoots, the anti-air missile flies back into his shed. Destroying the shed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like the cartridge or whatever?
No, the thing because he's sitting on it.
Oh, okay. So that thing. It launches back.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then he's like, okay, you got to push me forward. So then they push that thing forward just a little bit, and it pushes forward and it goes through the fucking house. Like,
yeah.
Destroys his house. Tons of fucking, like,
okay, so
home damage.
The fact that his home damage got done earlier is...
That was foreshadowing. Yeah.
What would really
He fires once more. I wrote down the house is completely destroyed. Because
the
at this
lady
point.
Wanted to redo anyway. She
exactly.
wanted to remodel.
So it's all going
to
work. And the missile just barely misses the sub yet again. This, like, nothing happens to that fucking Japanese sub. Kids turn on the seaside circus, giving plenty of light to the Japanese to aim the sub at the, like, city side, the seaside. And they fire onto the carousel and the Ferris wheel. And the buildings. And so the dummy and the two other dummies are worried about their lives. And the sub hits the Ferris wheel like three times. One causing it to spin. Two causing it to unlatch. And three causing it to completely start rolling down the pier. And it lands in the pier. But don't worry. They're okay. They don't die. And then guy with the dummy is just like, I want to do it again. And then everyone's like, shut the fuck up. I wrote down, Jesus Christ, can people stop yelling, dear Lord? At one point, John Candy is covered in dark dust, like he gets like a gunshot like on his face, and so his face is all black. And then the black guy gets white powder covered on him, and so they look at each other, and they start laughing, because the white guy looks black, and the black guy looks white. And that's pretty funny.
And then racism was solved that day.
And then the black guy's like, hey, John Candy, get to the back of the tank.
Did he say that?
Yes, he did.
Did he do it?
No, they just sort of laugh at each other. Now I'm like, okay, so now I guess that's cool now. Hmm. Whatever. The tank drives down the pier towards the submarine. Both try to load their guns as quickly as possible, but there's only one person who knows how to load the submarine. Sorry. There's only one person who knows how to load the tank gun,
yeah.
And that is Dan Aykroyd, and he's been knocked out, so he can't help at all. And then John Belushi drives his motorcycle off the end of the pier, and he lands in the water. And then the tank makes it to the end of the pier. The pier is falling apart. The Japanese tank shoots at the pier.
Has John Belushi done anything useful?
No, but he is about to do something very useful. Okay. The Japanese tank shoots at the pier. The tank falls into the water. The tank has been taken care of. The sub prepares to return home because they're like, we've done everything we wanted to do today. We have not been stopped. And then John Belushi climbs onto the edge of the submarine and jumps inside the submarine. And he's like, take me back to Japan, you fucks. So he's going to go back to Japan and just beat everyone up, I guess.
He's just going to live it up over there.
Maybe. And that's the end of his role. We don't see him again.
He just goes back. Okay.
Yeah. And then it's the next morning and everyone's exhausted and they're trying to rebuild. Betty's dad says, no matter what happened last night. What?
I was just going to say, I do think it's funny that he's the only one who gets sent to Japan because it's like no one's gonna believe him.
Exactly, right? No one's gonna believe whatever the fuck he says. It is pretty funny because like he winds up, he like swims all the way over there and then he climbs up the side of the submarine and he's smoking a cigarette the whole movie. Yeah. And then it's still lit by the time he gets there, and then the submarine starts to submerge, which is very much like the first Indiana Jones movie. And he jumps into the submarine as it's submerging and he closes it up and he's just like, get me back to Japan. And then he goes to like smoke and he realizes it's like not lit anymore and he goes, anybody have a light? It's pretty great. Anyway, next morning, Betty's dad says, no matter what happened last night, we did our best and we should hold our heads high as Americans. And then he goes to hang his Christmas wreath on his front door. And somehow the hammering of the front door causes his entire house to roll off the side of the foundation
roll
down the hill.
That's kind of funny.
And I wrote down, it's an incredible effect. But when is this movie going to fucking end already? And then Dan Aykroyd comes up to the guy who really likes Dumbo and he's just like, hey man, 1941, probably not the best year for us in the war, but maybe 1942 will be great. And that's the end of the movie. Almost like it's leading up to another movie. Like, go watch 1942. And this is when it was revealed.
1942 was not the best for the Allies.
Yeah.
So that's also probably the joke, right?
Yeah, right. And so I wrote down, this was when I was revealed, it was written by Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale. I wrote down the credits is just like showing everyone in the movie and showing scenes where they're yelling. There's also random explosions happening during the closing credits. But there's one person in this movie that you didn't mention. Somebody that was at the dance hall. Patti LuPone is in this movie.
Patti LuPone's in this movie?
Patti LuPone is at the dance hall, apparently.
Well, I also found out someone else is there. This is Mickey Rourke's debut movie.
Mickey Rourke?
Mickey Rourke. Mickey Rourke. Fuck. Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke?
Mickey Rourke? Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rooney?
Mickey Rooney.
Who does he play?
He's just some random, like, he was one of the guys in the tank group.
Apparently John Landis is also in this movie.
Well, who cares about that?
And James Caan is in this movie.
Sure. And I mean, honestly, this movie did feel a lot like Blues Brothers, just bad.
Michael McKean is in this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, it's like Blues Brothers bad. It's like Blues Brothers 2000.
I have some fun facts about this movie. One that I think you'd really appreciate is that the initial theatrical release was edited down to under 2 hours.
Wow.
But against Steven Spielberg's wishes.
Wow. So we watched the longer version then.
Yep.
That's hysterical.
It was the release of the film. After a preview screening to investors in Dallas received negative reviews, the release of the film was delayed by a month to allow Spielberg to edit the first 45 minutes of the film.
Thank God.
So I guess he went back in.
Wow.
And was like,
he knew that there's something wrong.
Something wrong.
Here's something fun. Apparently, according to Steven Spielberg's appearance in the documentary Stanley Kubrick, Life in Pictures, Stanley Kubrick suggested that 1941 should be marketed as a drama rather than a comedy.
Well, the thing is, it's weird because I was reading that apparently this movie is going to be more of a serious movie.
That's insane to think about.
When Spielberg got involved, it wasn't. So apparently this whole thing, this is a combination of the Zoot Suit Riots and the false alarm of
threw back a bottle
Japanese
of beer.
Air raid. But they were going to call this movie The Nights the Japanese Attacked, but it was not Japanese, they said. They were going to call that movie.
What were they going to say?
You know what they were going to say. But then apparently after MGM sold it to Universal Pictures, they're like,
we can't do that.
Let's change it to Rising Sun to not have that word in there.
Yeah.
You can put it in the movie, but let's not just put it on the title.
But
huh?
Then they just stuck with 1941.
Which is like such a weird choice.
Yeah.
I wrote down, I just copied real quick while you were talking, a review from Robert Ebert.
When I was yapping.
When you were yapping.
What did Robert Ebert have to say about this movie?
Feels forced together chaotically, as if editors wanted to keep the material moving at any cost.
Very true.
The movie finally reduces itself to an assault on our eyes, ears, a nonstop series of climaxes, screams, explosions, double takes, sight gags, and ethnic jokes that's finally just not very funny.
He was ahead of the fucking curve, this guy.
I mean...
That's basically right. the entirety of this long review.
It's bad.
Here's
it's
something fun. John Wayne, Charlton Heston, and James Stewart were originally offered different roles in the movie, with Wayne still considered for a cameo in the film. After reading the script, Wayne decided not to participate in the film due to ill health, but also urged Spielberg not to pursue the project, as he and Heston felt that the film was unpatriotic. Spielberg said, Wayne was really curious, so I sent him the script. He called me the next day and said that he felt this was a very un-American movie and that I shouldn't be wasting my time making it. He said, you know, this was an important war, and you're making fun of a war that cost thousands of lives at Pearl Harbor. Don't joke about World War II.
You know, honestly, while I was watching this, I was kind of like, this is kind of weird. Like, a lot of people died in World War II, and then it's just like, here's the goofy shit that's happening over here.
Yeah.
So, I think he's a little dramatic.
Yeah. But this is what I'm saying. This would be a better movie if there was no Japanese presence in the entire film.
Yeah.
If it was just Americans scaring each other.
Oh, that'd make John Wayne even more mad.
Yeah,
yes.
Probably. But, like, I think that's a cool concept, is, like, you get this concept of, like, chaos and, like, you know, American paranoia, but it's actually, like, founded in actual real-life paranoia, and it's, like, everyone's just, like, hyping themselves up the entire
movie. That's the
thing
is, like, I saw the synopsis of this movie, and I was like, oh, it's actually, there might be something here. Maybe we found a hidden gem. No, it's bad. It's so bad.
Are we ranking these or anything? Are we, like, rating these?
I don't remember. Did we?
I don't remember either.
I don't know, but this is bad.
Bad. This is a bad movie. Don't watch it. This is not a surprise.
Out of the two movies we watched, this one's the worst one for sure.
This is so far the absolute worst fucking film. Don't run away from it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's also just ungodly long.
Yep.
So fucking
Spielberg
long.
Spielberg wanted it. He wanted that length, baby.
He was wrong. Yeah, the director's cut is 146 minutes long. This is insane to me, because I'm like, you'd think that Spielberg would understand, like, maybe we should cut stuff like this.
No, because it's funny and it all builds up.
Yeah,
he's not good at comedies.
He's
not
really
good
not.
At it.
He's really not. Not.
Which is fine. Just stick in your lane.
The guy that shits in the submarine, is he like a? He's like a guy with a thick accent.
Yeah,
that's Slim Pickens.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's from the fucking, what do you call it?
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strangelove. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
exactly.
Great. I mean, he was really funny in this, but he was just doing his thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Exactly. Bad movie, guys. What do you think about World War II?
Yeah?
What side did you guys fall on? Email us. Email the other podcast.com.
Right, would you dance on Hitler if given the chance? Would you do the jitterbug?
If you walked into a dance hall and Hitler's face was on the ground, What would you do? Email us. Email the other podcast.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram. We're also on Blue Sky, and we also have a Discord. And if you want to listen to any of our previous episodes or keep up to date on future Spielberg episodes, you can find them on any new podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. Please, pretty please. We will read it on the show no matter what it says.
Do it.
Even if it is, like, overly long and full of, you know, weird racism and shit.
I don't know if I'll read that. I'll censor it out. We'll just say
We'll
just say the Japanese.
The Japanese.
The black people. The Mexicans.
Good night, everybody. 'd you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better, and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.